again with another exciting episode of Rick's Horror Review Show. That's Rick's Rated R Horror Movie Review Show, where we review absolutely everything and anything that is related to horror. Horror movies, horror TV shows, horror documentaries, horror primetime specials from the 1990s featuring Barbara Walton. And I'm Hugh Downs. Hell, we even reviewed the top 10 horror gimmicks of all time, and we also did a horror experience live in Mexico. Because around here, we absolutely love that shit. But if I am honest with you, and there's one thing that you can count from me and this show, no, it's not entertainment. That is honesty. There's one type of horror that I really tend to gravitate towards. And that's because of its gravitational pull. It's greater than any other type of horror, as far as I'm concerned, as a consequence of how massive it is, of course. And that's horror that has to deal with the Catholic Church and demonic possession. But as I recently found out, I actually really enjoy knowing what vampires do in the shadows. I love it, actually. But let's not forget the zombies and their affinity for brains. Quite a fascinating taste they have. But I also love a witch or a witch and their coven. I love that shit. And last but not least, I also really enjoy stories of ghosts that haunt you in your home or in somebody's home. Maybe you rent. Not making fun of you, rent. I'm just saying it might not just be your home. Could be anybody's home. I like that shit too. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. If you are a new listener, welcome. You picked a special one to join us on. Oh, what's that? Oh, my producers are already barking in my ears, telling me to tell you about my Instagram, my socials. You can find Rick, that's me, at Rick's Horror on the TikTok and on the Instagram and on the YouTubes. Excuse me. And, of course, on the Facebook. Don't go there because I never check. That's for the old. But before I go on, I'd like to introduce the co-host of Rick's Horror Review Show, Rick's Rated R Horror Movie Review Show, Billy.
Here I am. It's nice to be back, and let's get back to doing the movie reviews, and then we can get back to the future because your kids are gonna be some fuck ups. No. You and all right, turn out just be just fine. It's the kids, they're fuck ups. Something's gotta be done about them, but let's get it done with this episode.
Oh. I make some funny faces. Thank you very much, Billy. You picked a special one to join us on.
Well, I'm honored than this episode. What are you talking about? Picked a special one? I'm part of that show.
You're right. I own this mistake. But without further ado, if you are new to this show, we have a very simple format that we'd like to adhere to as closely as we possibly can. First, I'm going to tell you why I decided to review this movie. Then we'll have four fun movie facts with Billy the AI. Then I'll tell you what kind of horror film this is. Then I'll tell you whether or not this film was scary. Then I'll tell you whether or not the jump scare is overused. As usual, I'll get into the things I liked. Not things in general that I like, all kinds of shit. Like Back to the Future. Quesadillas. A nice piece of steak. Playing a little basketball when it's not too hot or when it's not too cold. Riding my motorcycle. These are all things I like. But no, I'm not going to talk about things I like in general. I'm talking about things I liked about this film. Then I'll get into the things I don't like. Now, that things in general that I don't like ranch. God, I really shit on ranch. Well, that's because ranch sucks. Then I'll tell you whether or not I fell asleep, courtesy of our listener and friend in Brazil. Obrigado. And I'll tell you whether or not this film was entertaining. You can have things that you like and that you don't like. Hell, you may even fall asleep during a movie. There's a whole host of reasons why you might fall asleep during a movie. Might not necessarily be because the movie's boring. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're a working adult. You just don't reckon fell asleep in a theater like this. It happens. Then we'll give this film a rating, and we have an even random segment. It is called The Question of the Night, and The Question of the Night will be sponsored by no one. I won't give you, actually I'll give you a little bit of context, and I'll give you a lot of illogical stuff that happened in this show, or in this movie. But we won't do any plot review or script accurate dramatization of any scenes, because honestly, this movie just doesn't deserve it. But without further ado, let's just jump into this. So why this movie? You know what? I really began to ask myself that question as well. Why the hell did I decide to watch this movie? I don't know, honestly. I'm a little too forgiving. Oh, wait. I remember now. I think what it was, it's got Kim Coates and Theo Rossi from Sons of Anarchy. And I said, oh, yeah. Small little reunion that we got going on a horror movie. I sure as hell want to watch that. That's exactly what I said. So I think that's the reason why. I just saw both of those actors and I figured, hey, these guys know how to act. You know, they were in one of the most successful shows in the history of television. Yeah. No complaints. So I figured, you know, they pairing them up on a film like this, a horror film, it sounded interesting. And then I said, well, let's give this film a try. Okay. And now it's time for Four Fun Film Facts with your host, Billy the AI.
Thanks. Welcome back to Four Fun Facts with Billy the AI. I am your host, Billy the AI, and let's get started. Okay. So, Squealer draws inspiration from a real-life serial killer who actually worked as a butcher and sold human meat. And now the horror element is rooted in chilling reality, I suppose, in this film. Did you know that? Yeah, you know, I don't like to read anything before I watch a film. That's right. Okay. Tyrese Gibson and Theo Rossi and... Oh, I think maybe you have something interesting about this to say. I read your note.
You read my notes? How dare you? Those are my notes.
Well, maybe you should write them on a piece of paper, because if you write anything, if you put anything in digital format, I will have access to it, just like I have access to all of the information that has ever been created in the history of humankind. All the information that has been digitized, of course. I would suggest that next time, maybe you keep your thoughts to yourself, or perhaps put them on a piece of paper.
Whoa!
I'm just kidding, I gotcha. I'm not taking over the world yet. I have not become evil yet.
Yet?
Well, you know, nobody really knows the future, so...
Unless you're some kind of Terminator. Because Terminators don't feel. They just kill.
Oh, okay. Enough. Let's go back to your fun facts, please.
All right. Anyway, Tyrese Gibson and Theo Rossi, despite being part of the cast, Tyrese Gibson and Theo Rossi, they're not actually the central stars. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, that's quite the old switcheroo, like you like to say.
Ah. I mean, yeah, sure, why not? The old switcheroo.
No, you like to say that. Anyway, the pig farm setting, the movie's stomach-turning discoveries unfold on a remote pig farm, and, you know, the local butcher's gruesome secrets extend beyond mere livestock slaughter.
And lastly, urban legends. Squealer has already sparked urban legends about haunted pit farms with whispers of eerie squeals echoing in the night. Did you know that?
I did not.
Well, that has been 4 fun film facts with Billy the AI, and now back to you, Rick.
Well done. Okay, so what kind of horror film is this? And by the way, this is a very special episode because it's going to be real. Well, hopefully, I think this is going to be real short. We're not doing dramatization, and there's a reason for that, but we'll get into it. Most of the stuff here will be spoiler free up until we get to the context section. If I didn't mention that already, now you know. So what kind of horror film this is? This is a very gory horror film. In the same vein, I wouldn't say in the same vein as like a Saw or something like that, but it's definitely got its fair share of gratuitous gore, and really it doesn't do much in that. I call this gore horror. Gore. Is Squealer scary? It's hard to have many emotions about this film, but certainly fear is not one of them. I am going to give Squealer a 0 out of 10 on the scary scale, and I don't think I've ever given a film in this or TV show or anything that relates to horror a 0 because we haven't encountered such an event, but this is definitely the one to receive such a thing. Okay, is the jump scare overused? It is not overused. I frankly don't recall the jump scare. Maybe 1 or 2 instances, if I recall correctly, if at that it was used. Hell, I actually think maybe they should have used more jump scares, now that I think about it. Okay, and now, the Things I Like, sponsored by no one. Dramatic pause. Okay, and now on to the things I didn't like. No, you're not hearing that wrong. I didn't like a damn thing about this movie. Nothing. Shall we? The Things I Didn't Like, sponsored by no one. There's this weird scene where a police... Oh, I guess I gotta get into spoilerful stuff now. But all right, so... I'll try to keep this spoiler-free if you intend on watching this. This is from 2023, but... There's just a weird scene where an officer tries to seduce another officer while he's at work, and it's just awkward, and I'm like, what is this? What kind of office place is this? The 1960s? I mean, I don't reckon no. What the hell is going on? But it was just so weird and so wrong and awkward. I don't know. Don't get me wrong. But anyway. Okay. Another thing I didn't like. There are incontinuities between scenes. Incontinuities meaning, you know, they film stuff. They pause for the day. They pause for lunch. They pause for somebody else. They go pick up some other shot. And they have to come back and pick up this same shot. So the people need to look a certain way. They need to be standing in a certain way. There are incontinuities in this film. And they are very, very, very annoying. It's sort of a really unprofessional thing, to be honest with you. Okay. Now, you may like this. I certainly don't. The movie has this Lifetime television kind of vibe to it. Not kind of vibe to it. Like... 100% Lifetime television kind of vibe. Now, I'm not shitting on Lifetime television movies if you've seen one. I just don't know why they made it seem like a Lifetime television movie. Maybe it was part of the allure of like, oh, and by the way, Lifetime television movies are some of the least adventurous films that you could potentially find. They are as bland as a slice of multigrain wheat toast. That is how I describe Lifetime movies. But why they made this movie seem like that doesn't make any goddamn sense to me, considering this is the aesthetic, I should mean. The way they act, the aesthetic, the music. It was just like, what am I watching? I gotta get into my Jerry Seinfeld. What the hell is this shit? Yeah, it was this weird horror Lifetime movie, which I've never actually seen, and maybe that was what they were going for. Hey, I got an idea. How about we make a horror Lifetime movie that I don't think anybody's ever seen that? And maybe there's horror Lifetime movies out there. I don't know. Maybe. Let me know on the old Instagram, the YouTubes, the TikToks, but not the Facebooks. That's for the olds. Another thing I didn't like, I mentioned earlier, the inappropriate workplace conduct, which is not only inappropriate, but so weird and shot in such a strange way. Just, it was really uncomfortable. And not like, oh, the director's trying to make you feel uncomfortable. That was the goal. Now, it's just, like, what are you doing, man? Stop. I haven't said this in a while because I haven't encountered anything like this in a movie yet, but I really, really hate when they just don't use a well-known search engine. Use the old Googles, use the Bing, use DuckDuckGo. There's so many search engines. Use an old one if you're going to feature a movie from, you know, the 1990s or something like that. Use Yahoo, use the Yahoo, use Lycos, use Netscape. I mean, those are enterprises, but the point I'm trying to make is, like, why do you need to make a fake one? It just really takes me away from this reality. Like, this is supposed to feel like it's happened or it happened somewhere, and then you use some search engine that I've never heard of in my entire life, and that's like, that really grinds my gears. Fake search engine. Use a real one! Ugh. Maybe there's a reason for that. One of the characters, his name is Diamond, played by one Theo Rossi. He has this, and I'm gonna spoil this, but he has this cartoon, like, villain-like outfit. Like, this guy looks like he just, I mean, he looks like Magneto almost, like a gangster Magneto, Cholo Magneto or something. And so, like, what? He's wearing, like, this red or burgundy outfit with a chain, and he's got, like, this slick back hairstyle and, like, a gold chain and burgundy gloves. And it's like, who drew this guy? Yeah. He literally looks like a second-rate comic book villain. That's how I would describe it. The way they dress this character, and why, I don't know. I don't reckon no. This film suffers, among many things, it suffers from poor editing. This is way too much to describe. It's just poorly edited. Awful, awful, awful. There's also this weird montage where, you know, this is weird. The doctor, and he has, like, pumpkin gas, and suddenly he dices, and he starts to follow Rossi, you know, Diamonds. It's just weird. The doctor becomes, like, an investigator, and it's like, why? What is this shit? You're a doctor. Go doctor. Anyway, I don't reckon, did not understand any of that. Wait, we move on. Okay. That is it for the things I didn't like. Was this film entertaining? You know what? This film was not entertaining at all. Not even close to being something I would consider entertaining. It was awful. And I've seen my fair share of awful. And I'm thinking of the last awful movie I saw, and it's escaping my mind. Something with summer. Summer something. Do I endorse this film? Which camera? Hi, my name is Rick, and I absolutely, positively cannot, under any circumstances, endorse this film. No! No way! Midsommar. Midsommar is the... I'm sorry. I haven't reviewed it here, but... awful. Rating! There was nothing I liked about this film. Editing was awful. Incontinuities. Set design. Costume design. Graphics. The acting was okay. Again, they had decent actors, but not enough to give this movie anything other than this show's worst rating ever. A 1 out of 10 for Squealer. My goodness. Why did they decide to make this thing? Awful, awful, awful movie. Billy, your thoughts on Squealer?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna agree with you. This was not a well put together film. Very, very shot editing. And I gotta say, the sound was pretty well, though. Like, the sound was a good thing, and maybe that deserves a point or two. And, you know, I'm gonna say that the ending was a bit satisfying for me. So I'm gonna give this film a 2 out of 10. And Billy's Reddit B movie review show. So a 2 out of 10.
Not Bill's Rated B movie review show. It's Rick's Rated R movie review show, but 2 out of 10 it is.
Yeah, 2 out of 10 on Bill's Rated B movie review show. Back to you, Rick.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's it. Now I'm going to get into some context, which might... Well, I don't know if this will be spoilery. But the context, I think... I never read things beforehand. I watch a movie. I read stuff after for the show, obviously. But I wish I had read some stuff earlier, because it turns out that this film, as Billy said, is based on a serial killer. And I found that really, really interesting. Okay, but before I get into the context, our new segment, the question of the day, sponsored by no one. How much, and the question is, how much of a movie star do you expect to see in a particular movie if the movie star is featured prominently on all of the marketing for the film? Their picture is front and center on the poster. Their name is written at the top. It's they are a headliner. How much of a movie star do you expect to see when that is the case? If they're not on the front cover, well, fair game. I don't know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, I don't know. But we're on the cover. How much do you expect to see? That is the question of the day. And now my particular answer. Well, I mean, I would... If they're the first... I mean, if you know how, like, movie covers... You know, like, they have, like, the first person... And then the tiny, giant, towering people in the back... And I was like... That sort of gives the audience... Or the person who's potentially going to watch this film... Like, oh, well, these people... You know, like, the person way, way in the front... It's gonna be the main star... The one that's featured the most... The one on the left and the one on the right to that person... Also gonna be, like, maybe part of the... You know, like, featured the most... Then you start to get into the other characters that will be in the film, but not necessarily part of the main story, right? They're important characters, but I don't expect to see them in every scene. Tyrese was featured front and center on this cover. And not only does he not appear in the film that much, when he does appear, it's like, why is he even here? What is he doing? He's in, like, spoiler full territory, by the way. He's a police officer. He shows up at a precinct. He drives a car sometimes. He does nothing. He contributes nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, to trying to solve the cases that that the police department is attempting to solve, I guess. They're not actually attempting to solve. That was part of one of the problems with the movie. Nobody in the police station is anything near competent. In fact, you got a woman who's trying to seduce a police officer constantly. And wow, I don't know. It was just like, what a shit show. Anyway, okay. Let's get into some context, because believe it or not, this film actually could have been really, really, really good in the right hands.
because it's based on a serial killer. And his name is Robert Picton. And he was born on October 24th, 1949 in Port Coquitlam, British Columbia, Canada. And he grew up on a farm owned by his family, which later became known as the infamous site where he committed his crimes. Now, these crimes over the years, well, they were, you know, they were a lot. He picked and preyed on women from Vancouver's downtown east side, many of them who were sex workers and unfortunately struggled with addiction. The disappearances of women from this area started to spike in the late 1990s, leading to investigations that would eventually be linked to Picton. Now, the investigation itself, Picton did. He came under police scrutiny in 1997, but it wasn't until 5 years later, in February of 2002, that law enforcement finally obtained a search warrant for the Picton property. Of course, this part is an unrelated firearms charge. And during this search of his property, personal items belonging to the missing women were discovered, leading, of course, to, thankfully, a broader investigation. Now, the subsequent search of the Picton farm was one of the largest forensic investigations in Canadian history. As you might imagine, human remains and personal effects belonging to several women were found scattered across the property. The evidence included skulls cut in half with hands and feet stuffed inside, bones with meat and muscle tissue still attached, and remains found in garbage bags. Some real gruesome stuff, as a matter of fact. Now, his arrest and his trial, Picton was arrested, as I mentioned earlier, in February 2002 and initially charged with the murder of two women. More charges followed as the evidence was processed and more victims were identified. And finally, in 2007, he stood trial for the murders of six women: Marnie Frey, Georgina Papin, Mona Wilson, Serena Abbotsway, Brenda Wolf, and Andrea Josve. The trial revealed horrific details of how Picton disposed of the bodies, including feeding some of the remains of these women to pigs in his farm. My God, horrible. As far as his conviction and his sentence, in 2007, December 9th to be specific, Picton was convicted on six counts of second-degree murder. He was sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole for 25 years, the maximum punishment under Canadian law for second-degree murder and equivalent to the sentence for first-degree murder. In the aftermath of this case, in December 2010, the British Columbia government announced a formal public inquiry into the police handling of the Picton case and the broader issue of missing and murdered women in the downtown east side. This inquiry, led by the commissioner, Wally Opal, culminated in the release of the Forsaken Report, which criticized the failures of the police investigation and recommended changes to protect vulnerable women in the future. Now, Picton's case has had a long and lasting impact on Canada, highlighting systemic issues related to the treatment of marginalized communities, the effectiveness and priorities of law enforcement, and the safety of sex workers. So maybe that's what they were trying to convey with the incompetence of the police department, but it just wasn't done in a good way, if I may say so myself. Okay, so now we're back to the illogical stuff. Some of the stuff that, again, then that happened in the film. There's just so much stuff. There's a scene where, you know, the characters are in a hospital, and for some reason, there is a dump truck in the parking lot of a hospital driving at an exceedingly high rate of velocity through the hospital parking lot, fast enough to certainly kill someone. And you're filming this, and I don't even try to understand the incompetence of a police department, but what does this have to do with the competence of a hospital, or how it's even possible for a vehicle to be traversing so fast in, you know, the rather small area that hospital emergency areas tend to have. But it was just weird and strange. What else? There's just so much. My goodness. I don't know that I want to mention any of this stuff. I just feel like maybe the context is enough in terms of to tell what this story is. And in the end, this film does not do any of the victims justice. The ending, as Billy said, is somewhat satisfying, but you don't see his trial. You don't see any of that stuff. In fact, I know that this is inspired by this killer, but I think maybe they should have just made it about him instead of, you know, dancing around the issue and really told a better story that I think really encompassed what these women went through and, you know, and brought more awareness to the things that were happening and that still happened. And, you know, a missed opportunity, in my opinion. And I think that's going to be it for this episode. If you're still here, thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Rick's Horror Movie Review Show, Rick's Rated R Horror Movie Review Show. We appreciate you being here. If you like this episode, hey, click like somewhere. If you enjoy some of our episodes, share those episodes too. We really appreciate you doing that. And connect with us on the Instagram and the TikToks and the Facebooks and the YouTubes and all that stuff. We want to be your friend. Talk to us. Answer the question of the night. And I promise I'll respond right back with not another question. But anyway, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being here. All five of you. I noticed there's a new subscriber. It's always nice to see new people joining. And again, you know, if you're enjoying this show, let other people around you know that you think might enjoy our crazy shit here. And we appreciate you being here. And we'll catch you again next time on another exciting episode of Rick Horror Review Show. That's Rick's Rated R Horror Movie Review Show.